I'm Indy Todd. Welcome to The Point. Today we wrap up our political debates with the candidates running for U.S. Congress in the 9th District. The Democrat is William Keating and the Republican candidate is John Chapman. Welcome to you both.
Glad to be here.
A reminder of our format, up to 2 minutes for opening and closing comments. We determined the order before going on the air. We have up to 2 minutes for answers to questions, which we will rotate who answers first, and 30-second rebuttals where needed. And we determined, Bill Keating, that you will go first with opening comments.
Well, thank you, Mindy. Yesterday I had a chance to talk to high school students in a debate we had at the Monomoy High School. And after I talked to the students, they said the one thing they came away with was a story I shared with them. And it's a story to try and get them involved in politics. But it's a good message as we head into next Tuesday to remind people how important it is to vote. When I was in Afghanistan, I would talk to the troops, and I would, from time to time, just ask them, is there anything else I can do? And is there something I can do for these great men and women that are supporting us? And they would just say, no, sir, I'm just doing my duty. Yet, when I got to the Helmand province down in the south, and I talked to some Marines there, they said, there is something we could do. Could you talk to this one man? This one man, who was a local, was risking his life, providing them with information about where the IEDs were, what some of the moves of the Taliban would be. And so I went out to the village with them, and I saw the man, and I thanked him. And I couldn't help but ask him. I said, why are you doing this? Why are you risking your life? And he brought forward a young boy, and he said, this is my son. I want him to have an education. I want him to have opportunity. I don't want him to live in this violence. And I want him to have a society other than the Taliban's restricted society. And I got home and I said, my God, in our country, we have the opportunity to do this. And the political system allows us to make changes, to help opportunity, to improve lives, and to go forward without risking our lives. It's something we take for granted here. And I hope that next Tuesday, everyone, despite the difficult environment that exists now in politics, takes the time to vote and to let their voice be heard in moving our country forward. That's what's at stake in this election.
Thank you. John Chapman.
Good morning. Thank you. Thank you, Mindy, and thank you, Congressman. Let me tell you why I'm running. I'm running because I want a strong America. I want a strong America globally so we can protect our national security and protect ourselves against terrorism. I want a strong America domestically so we can grow our economy and add jobs. I believe Washington is broken. It's become polarized. It's arrogant. It's completely lost touch with the people it's supposed to be representing. I believe government is too big. Congress isn't listening. Our debt is $17 trillion and growing, and all we have taking place in Washington is partisan bickering. We have so many challenges ahead of us, and I believe our country is headed in the wrong direction. I believe my opponent is part of that problem. He's out of touch, and I don't believe he understands the needs of the district. I believe jobs need to be a priority number one. We need to create a business-friendly environment, reduce burdensome regulations. My opponent has a 0% rating from the National Federation of Independent Businesses. That tells me that 100% of the time he has been voting against small business interests. Spending is out of control. It's reckless. And I would support a balanced budget amendment. I think Washington should do what each and every single one of us does every month. We sit down at our kitchen table, balance our checkbook, and make sure we're not spending more than we're taking in. My opponent has voted on legislation since he's been in office for 4 short years that has added over $2 trillion to our national debt. And with immigration, we need immigration reform. We need to secure our borders first and foremost. We need to stop those magnets that are attracting illegals to come to this country. My opponent has voted on a number of occasions against border security. We need balance in the congressional delegation, and if elected, I will have a seat at the table with the majority. We need a congressman who puts district first, listens to the people, and will go to Washington to get the job done.
Do you want a rebuttal?
Thank you. The Quincy Patriot Ledger, when they endorsed me, said, Keating's idea to create a maritime regional center that includes local businesses and college is perfect for our region. I have that small sense of understanding about jobs because I did have a small business myself. But I'd like people to go to Bill Moyer's site, Google, what is the NFIB? They're going to find out it's a Tennessee-based political organization funded by Karl Rove and the Koch brothers, and their views about what's important is a lot different than the views of the people I represent.
Right. We'll probably get to more of this as we get into the questions. We're going to start the first question, John Chapman. We're going to start with you. Jobs and the economy still very much on the minds of voters. What is your economic plan?
Well, I think we have absolutely, as I had mentioned at the outset, we have to make jobs the number one priority. I've been saying out there on the campaign trail that we need to invest in our community colleges, invest in our voc-tech high schools. I believe if we do that, we can find training gaps for our businesses, and we should partner with businesses and figure out where those training gaps are and offer those programs at the community colleges and voc-tech high schools. Once we have the right training, I believe it will attract businesses to the district. It will also allow businesses to grow. The NFIB, by the way, is not. It's a national organization. It's an organization that actually has endorsed many Democrats here in Massachusetts. Representative Gary and Drakett, Representatives Zlotnick and Gardner, Senator Timelty and Walpole, Representative Timelty and Milton, Senator Ives in Newburyport, and Representative Dwyer in Woburn. These are not extreme members. They are people who are pro-business. And along those lines, it's not just the 0% that I referenced with my opponent. It's also he has a rating of 14% from the National Association of Manufacturers. I've spoken to a number of manufacturers in the district, and we need someone that's looking out for their interests as well.
Thank you. Bill Keating, same question.
Well, I must say that the NFIB 10 votes that you're talking about, John, include opening the door to oil drilling on Cape Cod, offshore oil drilling, not having women have the protection where they're not charged more for their health care than men, taking away prescription drug coverage for the seniors, taking away overtime monies that we've fought hard for over the years to have, not monitoring water quality, not giving insurance, as was helpful in my family and so many others, that they can keep their kids in, until they're 26 under their policy. These are the issues that I am in direct contradiction with their limited radical agenda, sponsored by Karl Rove and the Koch brothers. But rather, it's not who, how you're rated by these groups. Do you represent the people that voted you in? And I do. And these are issues that I'm in accord with the vast majority of the people in my district, and you seem to be against.
Do you want to answer the jobs and economic plan?
Thank you. I mentioned my vision of a maritime regional center for our area, and it's already occurring. Right here in Woods Hole, we have an engine. The research that's here is important to fund not only environmental monitoring of our oceans, but also to create business. One reason down the street that Hydroid expanded here was because of the Woods Hole research. Same holds true with the small business innovation funding that I was the champion of on the Small Business Committee. And you have small businesses just like in West Tisbury that have taken advantage of $2 million of that to start up and begin forming business and jobs. I'm for the 1,000 jobs that are there in terms of the Cape Wind project in New Bedford. And I'm also saved 141 security jobs at Joint Base Cape Cod. So that's been a focus, but my focus translates to the region I represent, not any kind of national special interest group.
Thank you. All right, Bill Keating, we start with you this time. Many fishing families are struggling. You may have heard a debate earlier this week where Charlie Baker mentioned his conversation with a fisherman who basically said he has ruined his son's lives by insisting they carry on the family tradition of fishing. Martha Coakley had mentioned she's also had many conversations with fishing families along those same lines. What help would you propose, if any, for fishermen?
Well, I've been working on that since I've been elected. I started the first Federal Fishery Advisory Board. We brought all the stakeholders together, as well as elected officials. We worked to deal with the issues that are affecting them. The first bill I put in helped fishermen because there was a conflict of interest where they were getting assessed penalties, and that they were using it for things like buying fancy boats and everything like that. I made sure that any of those assessments went to the science of fisheries, so we had better and accurate information. I've been working with the scientists at University of Massachusetts in particular on this, SMAST, to try and make sure that the science is accurate. And I'm working on Magnus and Stevenson right now where we're going to make some changes. I also helped fishing men and women and their families. I worked very hard to get the $75 million in disaster relief for our fishermen and their families. And that's critical to them, just to be able to survive going forward.
Thank you. John Chapman, same question.
Well, I think you might have seen in the paper today, down in South Coast today, they talked about New Bedford being one of the top seaports in the nation. And fishing is a very large part of that. It's a personal issue for me. My brother was a commercial fisherman for over 25 years out of Chatham, and it means a great deal to me, and I know the importance of having economic vitality with fishermen. And what the fishing industry needs is a voice. We need a real voice down in Washington. My opponent just spoke about the $75 million of emergency relief coming to helping out the fishing industry. If you break that down, it's only about $33 million or so here in the district. And when you break it that down by fishermen, it's only between $30,000 and $40,000. And more importantly, this has been going on for 4 years, and the money has yet to be in the pockets of the fishermen and those families that need it. And there's an opportunity for jobs with fishing. For every job, one job on the water, it creates six jobs on land. And I understand that I think the industry is being overregulated, and there is an opportunity for reauthorization with Magnuson-Stevenson Act coming up in the next session of Congress. I would love to be part of that. And this is an industry that we absolutely have to bring focus to.
Thank you. And do you want to rebuttal?
Yes.
Yeah, go ahead.
The last two days, John mentioned that the $30,000 to $40,000, and he called it in both occasions. He said, that's just a drop in the bucket. And I think that's the difference between the two of us as well. $30,000 to $40,000 might be a drop in the bucket to you, but to fishermen and their families, it's critical just to get by. The average median income for a fisherman is about 33. And if you have that view that $30,000 to $40,000 is a drop in the bucket, I can see why you don't realize the importance of prescription drug coverage for seniors or your plan to raise the tax level of the middle class.
Right.
30 to 40,000 isn't a drop in the bucket.
You want to rebuttal as well? All right, go ahead.
When I said drop in the bucket, those are the words that came from fishermen. Just last week, I had a meet and greet in New Bedford on Pier 3, and the words drop in the bucket came directly from the mouths of the fishermen, Congressman. And what I was looking at the meet and greet, I looked across out the docks, and I saw boats tied up. They shouldn't be tied up. Our fishermen should be able to get back in. Out and fishing those waters.
Okay, I'm sticking with fishing, so let's get on to the next question. And John Chapman, we'll start with you. It's sort of the flip side of this. New England has more overstocked fish stocks than any other region, and the cod stocks that first brought Europeans to Massachusetts are in dire condition. What should elected officials be doing to ensure the economic and ecological sustainability of our fisheries?
Well, absolutely. I think protecting the fisheries is the most important part of making the industry sustain itself in the coming years. We obviously have to balance between protecting the fisheries as well as the economic vitality of the fishermen and those who work in the industry. Right now, I think it's a little slanted towards protecting the fisheries. What's important when we look at that, we need to make sure that the science is right and that the data and the research about the fishing stocks is correct and accurate. And there's an opportunity for government to work with the fishing industry, local fishing industry, to make sure that that science is right and that they're both in agreement with that. That's not been the case over the past many years.
Thank you. Same question, Bill.
Well, the industry is very diverse, as you know. In fact, the person that John met with at his meeting is a millionaire who sells stocks and shares of his fishing, not the people that are out there fishing every day. And those people are living cycle to cycle. And we've worked hard to make sure that in advance some of those decisions are made. These people are small business people, and they have to be able to know with certainty what's happening. And we've worked to do that. I've worked to get the science right as well, working particularly with SMAST. And what I'm doing, too, is there's an abundance of some species in the water. And I've been working to make sure that the dogfish that are plentiful right now there's a market for them. I've worked with the agricultural buyback so that they're utilized that way. We're working with, trying to incentivize the use of those. They're healthy. They're great. And in so many other countries, they're a staple. So we have other alternatives to keep the industry alive, and we have to keep working at that.
Hey, you want to rebuttal, John Chapman?
I do, because, Congressman, you don't know what fishermen I was speaking to. There were about 50 fishermen in that room, and a number of them who were telling me that that's only a beginning of the emergency relief that they need. And what we need here in Massachusetts is a voice for the industry. Not one member of the Massachusetts Congressional Delegation is a member of the Natural Resources Committee. If I were to be elected, I would want to serve on that committee and be a voice for the fishing community.
Go ahead.
Nikki Tsongas belongs to that committee.
All right, thank you. We are talking with the candidates running for the U.S. Congress in the 9th District, William Keating and John Chapman. We'll have more after break. You're listening to The Point. We are hearing where the candidates stand on the issues. The candidates running for U.S. Congress in the 9th District, Bill Keating and John Chapman. Your turn, Bill Keating, to answer first. The 9th District includes most of Massachusetts' coastline and some of the communities that are most vulnerable to sea level rise and erosion. At what point do we need to consider moving back from the coast, and what would you do to enable and ease that difficult process?
Well, we certainly have burdened with the issue of flooding. And that's been an issue of great significance and involvement for me. In fact, the Patriot Ledger in their endorsement said I was the, quote-unquote, the champion of the South Shore and the Cape in saving residents thousands of dollars in fees. But it goes beyond that in terms of our long-range, which you mentioned, ability to deal with this. There's one thing I found out during this process is that communities and community leaders, if they put in people in place in their government and do the proper reporting, they can reduce the flood insurance rates in their communities by anywhere from 10 to 45%. And what they have to do is there's a rating system that's involved. And if communities, they'll get credit. You almost get 10% just by filing it right away. But if they purchase open space near the coastal areas, they get credit and it reduces the rates for everyone that lives in those communities. And there's other things they can do with their zoning and other things. So one thing that I think communities became aware of in this crisis is there's a lot they can do to help, and it helps both ways. It'll help lower the rates for the people that live in those communities, but what you mentioned, Minnie, where you can go ahead and start making long-term decisions so that the property and people's you know, homes and businesses aren't as affected.
Thank you. John Chapman.
Well, absolutely. With erosion and flood issues are of top priority here in the 9th Congressional District. I have, over the last few weeks, I have focused on with my opponent that he voted in 2012 to raise our flood insurance rates 25%. I object to that because I that was part of a larger bill. And I believe that the congressman had an obligation at that point to raise his hand and say, wait a minute, this is going to impact flood insurance. This is going to impact all the people in my district, and he didn't. What happened, as which I've seen across the board with the Congress as well as President Obama, they seem to put laws into place and they review the impact after the fact. This is another example of that. And once again, we need more information and more data around floods as well as erosion issues.
My next question is on the FEMA flood insurance. Do you want it to have 30 seconds? Go ahead.
Thank you. You just can't put up your hand, John. The Congress doesn't work that way. There's a vote that your party made sure there was no amendments to. And what it is, was an up and down vote. We were going to have no flood insurance or flood insurance. The bill itself also included provisions for affordability. In the implementation of it, that didn't come first. I led the charge to find out the maps were wrong. I went to UMass myself with a scientist there, asked them to look at the Duxbury and Marshfield appeals, looked at that information. They found out the methodology is wrong. That was something critical.
That's 30 seconds, but I mean, that question, you'll have time to answer that question. And John, we'll start with you. The new FEMA regulations regarding flood insurance have many facing astronomical insurance bills. What relief, if any, do you propose for these homeowners? What would you do?
Well, first, we have to, Congressman Keating does focus on, we need to make sure that the maps are absolutely correct. I'm glad that you led the charge, but Congressman, it was after the fact, after the flood insurance rates were so high. I go back to 2012. It demonstrates to me that in that vote, the congressman voted along party lines rather than looking out and speaking up for the district. When you speak about flood insurance, Congressman, you sound like a Washington insider. It's not about an up and down vote. That's the problem with Washington by lumping all these bills together. And I do take issue with that approach. That's the problem with Washington. The people in the district want to know they have someone to listen to. that someone is listening to them and representing their voice in Washington, not going along with the president and Nancy Pelosi 93% of the time. That's the problem with people with Congressman Keating, voting along partisan lines, not speaking up for district interests.
All right, same question.
Well, it's not partisan. I didn't take a partisan approach. That bill was a Republican bill. It was a Republican-sponsored bill. I want to tell you that there was a bipartisan approach to it afterwards, though. I was able, with the reform bill, to work with Republicans in all along the coast, working together, something unusual in Congress today, to make sure that we protected people. You know, you may not realize it, John, but most of Plymouth County was frozen because of my efforts in terms of the maps were frozen because of my efforts with SMAST and finding out the maps were wrong. People were grandfathered in that bill, if you'd read the bill, where they were protected as a result and their rates didn't raise. And there was also a cap on those increases as part of that bill. And those are things I worked on. Part of the legislation was my own language that became law afterwards. So we worked to get 3.5 years where we can cap rates, grandfather people in, and be able to go forward. And during this period, we have to work hard. And I hope I have the opportunity to do that, learning what I did from the scientists at UMass, learning to put a bipartisan coalition together and be effective in going forward to address this problem.
Do you want a rebuttal?
I do. It was a bipartisan bill, Congressman, and just saying that you are acting in a bipartisan manner doesn't make it so. What you speak about with the maps, again, everything was after the fact. I keep going back to, and it's worth mentioning for all your listeners out there, that 93% of the time is Congressman Keating voted along with the president and Nancy Pelosi. That's not being bipartisan. We need someone that has a voice, and the only reason that this happened is because people objected after
the
fact.
Go ahead.
It's not who you vote with that counts. It's who you vote for. And the president isn't a member of Congress, as you well know. But I voted for the people in this district. And those votes included making sure that women are paying more for their health care than men, that seniors don't get their prescription drug coverage taken away, that oil drilling doesn't occur off the shore of Cape Cod, that tuition payments, something you would have had me, you would have voted the other way on, would have doubled without my intervention.
We're going to get into some of these very issues you're talking about. But first, Ed is giving us a call from Osterville. Ed, what is your question for the candidates, please?
Hi. I have a niece, and she went to the Monomoy debate yesterday, and she had a question for me that I didn't quite know how to answer. So I'm looking for some clarification.
Okay. What's the question?
Mr. Chapman, you said
we need the question for marriage. Ed, let me stop you. You need to pose the question to both candidates, okay?
Well, okay. So for both candidates, then, what is your stance on gay marriage in the United States? Will you protect it, and will you protect it nationally?
Thank you. All right. Thank you. Bill Keating, I think it's your turn to go first.
Yes. I have been a strong supporter in this regard. I think if two people love each other, they find each other in life, they should be able to marry each other. And it's an important civil rights issue as far as I'm concerned. And it's something that I have supported, and it's something I'll continue to be a strong voice for.
Thank you. John Chapman, same question.
I am also supportive of gay marriage and equality, for that matter, across the board. We've had gay marriage here in the state since 2004, and I'm very supportive of it.
All right. Thank you. Ed, thanks for the call. 866-999-4626 is our number. Our email address is thepoint@capeandislands.org. If you have a question on an issue you'd like to pose to both our candidates, let us know. All right. This time, we start with you, John Chapman. Thoughts on a proposed third vehicle bridge?
Well, my thoughts about that certainly is as I've been traveling around the district, we certainly do have some traffic problems. And certainly going over the Sagamore and Bourne bridges, you see that they need to both be upgraded. I think we need to study this more. We need to find ways to resolve traffic, and we need to make sure that our bridges are as up-to-date as they possibly can be. So we do need a solution. I'm not sure if it's the third bridge right now. I would want to speak to the communities as well as do some studies and really explore the issue.
Thank you. Bill Keating.
I've been working, trying to find alternatives since I've been in office. Our bridges are getting old. I live at the base of the Bourne Bridge myself, and they can't go on forever structurally. So we're going to have to do something. I talked to Tom Cahier, who I respect greatly, and has done a great job in the RTA and the Cape. And his view is that it's inevitable we'll have a third bridge. Now, that's likely, talking to the Army Corps of Engineers and other people, to be right next to the Sagamore Bridge for a lot of reasons. But there's a lot of misunderstanding about that as well, because people will say, now we'll have three bridges, more people will be coming over, the Cape will be changed because of this. The purpose of the third bridge will be, in the long run, because the other bridges can't sustain themselves. So what would happen is that other bridge eventually would be built, and then the other bridge would come down. So that I think a lot of the concerns people have about this being leading to more congestion in the Cape, that's not the intent of it. We have a structural problem in the long run, and it will have to be addressed.
Thank you. Bill Keating, you answer first this time. Should Pilgrim Nuclear Power Station be shut down, and what are your thoughts on storage of the spent fuel rods?
When the reauthorization came forward with that, I sent a letter with then-Congressman Markey asking them not to approve the 20 years until some public safety issues were addressed, like the flaps and other issues that are more technical. And they didn't listen to us and went ahead and gave the 20 years. Those issues, some of them remain. So I think that in the long run, what will happen in terms of any shutdown will be more based on economic changes and energy changes than on any kind of political intervention, because the Regulatory Commission was founded to keep that from not happening. So I think that we have work to do, and I've remained vigilant. And as a member of the Homeland Security Committee, I address concerns and amendments there in terms of cybersecurity and other factors, because I live just maybe as the crow flies 2 or 3 miles away. I'm fully cognizant of the plant, its operation, and I'm going to stay vigilant to make sure it's safe and make sure that, and I support, by the way, what will be on the ballot around the Cape in terms of expanding the emergency zone. I think that's something that would be beneficial to the communities as well.
You have about 30 seconds. Do you want to mention anything on the spent fuel rods?
Yes, thank you. I believe there should be more of the rods taken out of the pool and put in dry cask. I think that is something that will provide a safer environment for those rods than the rods there. I've been there. I've toured the plant. I've seen the rods there. I think they'd be better served and people would be safer to put them there, because it seems like Yucca Mountain and the other alternatives are holding things up in terms of having a site, something that a Blue Ribbon Commission is working on to find another site.
Thank you. John Chapman, same questions.
Well, my approach towards energy is always, I take sort of, my guiding principle is I take an all of the above approach towards energy. I think energy prices here in the region are, they're the highest of anywhere else in the nation. And when I say all of the above approach, I think we should include all sources of energy. That's renewables, solar and wind. That's nuclear, like Pilgrim. That's also gas and coal. But with regard to Pilgrim specifically, during the primary, I had the opportunity to tour Pilgrim as well. And I sat down with the NRC officials there, the on-site folks, and spoke to them, as well as talked to the operators. I think the role of the government and a congressman is twofold when they have a nuclear plant like Pilgrim in the district, is to make sure that, one, that the operators are doing their job, and two, that the regulators are doing their job. By touring it, public safety should be absolutely paramount. And when I toured it and spoke to both the operators and the regulators, I was comfortable with what I saw. I do believe that, and so I'm very supportive of Pilgrim, and with the what to do with the spent fuel, I do believe Congress has an obligation to try to follow through with Yucca Mountain or other sites, but it has to be a priority. But the way they're handling the spent fuel now, putting it in some dry cast cylinders, is a system that works, and I was comforted with what I saw, and I feel that public safety is paramount for both parties here.
All right, thank you. Chapman, we're going to start with you. Branton Point Power Station is slated to close in 2017. That will mean lost jobs in the Fall River area, as well as a loss of power generation capacity. What do you envision replacing that power plant?
Well, that's something we, as you may have recently heard, NSTAR just reported that electricity rates are going to go up 37% this winter. And I think in large part that's because of there were three other power plants that recently shut down. And when you shut plants down, we need to make sure that we find an alternative where the energy is going to come from. And that's something that absolutely has to be top priority for any congressman, to make sure that these issues are being addressed, that we're trying to search and find what an alternative power plant there is. I do also worry about the loss of jobs in the Fall River area. That's part of the district and a region that has double-digit unemployment. We need to find ways, and we need to be part of the dialogue and have a seat at the table with those issues. I believe that I could bring that to Washington. As I had mentioned, my opponent, he seems to vote along partisan lines. We need to have someone who speaks frequently about how we can lower energy costs in the region, and that's finding alternative sources and making sure that it gets done.
Thank you. Bill Keating.
In the longer run, I think Massachusetts as a whole will suffer as a result of not being more connected to gas lines for natural gas. And I think that that's going to happen in the interim. I think there will be an energy situation that's worth watching very closely. I do think it calls into question, too, the need to look for clean, renewable energy as well. That's why I support Cape Wind. It'll generate enough power to power the equivalent of 3/4 of all of Cape Cod. I've looked at what happened in the district. We're leaders here. In fact, I just worked to get a grant in many of these areas to have us move forward, because my vision of this region is a leader in terms of environmental work, in terms of a marine economy as well. I look at Dartmouth as one of the communities that has more solar power than virtually any community in the Commonwealth. I saw what is happening in Barnstable, where they're having solar work and wind power there, and they're taking that and using the energy to take care of their whole wastewater and water needs, powering that. I was in Dennis, and I saw in Dennis a collaborative in terms of solar that's the biggest in New England working together. All these things are important. In fact, we have a great model right on Joint Base Cape Cod of geothermal, wind, solar, technical advances that make energy more efficient. We have to move forward. I look at Europe and see what's being done in other countries there. We should move ahead. And when we do that, that's going to be great for our economy here, because there'll be a spinoff of jobs. We will be a center of growth for the new jobs right here in this area. And so it's good for our environment. It's good for our energy needs, and it's good for our economy.
Rebuttal, go ahead.
I just want to speak about Cape Wind. That is a contrast between Congressman Keating and myself. I am opposed to the Cape Wind project. However, I am very supportive of renewables. I believe we have the technology for deep offshore wind out of the eyesight, from land. That technology is here. And I'm against Cape Wind because, again, initially the siting, but also economically. It's going to add $3 to $4 billion to our rates, as well as...
That's 30 seconds. We're going to take a quick break here. We're talking with the candidates running for U.S. Congress in the 9th District, John Chapman and William Keating. We'll be back. You're listening to The Point. We are talking about the issues with the candidates running for U.S. Congress in the 9th District, William Keating and John Chapman. Bill Keating, your turn to go first. This is a question from Garrison in Falmouth, who says, will you support more funding to stem the addiction epidemic in our area?
Yeah, I saw firsthand as a district attorney how many people's lives were lost. In Massachusetts, almost 2 people a day are dying from overdose of opiate drugs. And I have championed the cause in Congress, taking that experience forward. And I've done this in a bipartisan way. When I came forward with my STOP Act, which would have made the drugs we use safer, less used to abuse, I was joined by the chairman of appropriations, Hal Rogers, a Republican from Kentucky. And together, we worked together to stop the FDA from allowing cheap, unprotected OxyContin drugs into the marketplace, generic drugs. We worked to change the instructions of those drugs from just moderate pain to severe, limiting the usage of it. And I've worked in areas of education. I was one of the founders of LearnToCope.org, which is a group of parents of opiate-addicted children. I just had in the New Bedford region and Fall River region a clergy come together so that clergy members can be armed with the information necessary to help families get through this issue. I've had friends and family members that have been plagued by this terrible scourge. I don't know too many people that don't. There's more people that are dying now in this country from drug overdose than from car accidents. And I noticed in the hepatitis C in the Cape Cod Times just yesterday that Barnstable has the highest level of that. And the Affordable Care Act, again, is they cited as the reason they were able to combat that at the Duffy Center. So we have to hit this on the education level, the treatment level, and make sure these dangerous drugs aren't on the marketplace.
Thank you. John Chapman, same question.
Well, addiction is a serious concern here in the district, and I know that in Barnstable County as well as Bristol County, it has the highest number of drug overdoses and deaths that result. And Congressman Keating is right. We all know in our network and our friends and family of someone that's suffering with addiction. And, you know, I had the opportunity during the primary to visit the Duffy Health Center as well as Gosnold, and I saw great work being done down here in the region in that area. I actually wrote a white paper with some policy recommendations regarding this very issue, and I just to highlight some of those points, I think we should be investing in education and treatment at both ends. I call it bookends, sort of counselors at the middle school level, as well as when people get out of treatment and get out of rehab, they should be able to have the ability to sort of tap back into it so they can keep stay clean and sober as long as they possibly can. We should also be providing Narcan to our first responders when they come upon someone who's overdosed. And Vivitrol is a program that we have that's in the Barnstable County Correctional Facility. Those who are incarcerated, there seems to be a large number of folks who are incarcerated who are suffering with addiction. And Vivitrol is a drug that helps with that. And this is something that transcends partisan lines. And it's important, you know, I know Congressman Keating mentioned the Affordable Care Act. I don't think there's anything bipartisan about the Affordable Care Act. I would be against it. And my opponent has defended the Affordable Care Act every step of the way. And since he's been supporting 93% of the time, voting along with the president and Nancy Pelosi on those issues.
Rebuttal?
You know, I've actually done a lot on this issue, and as a district attorney, interesting enough, I started the drug court, which when I went with that application to the trial court, they were really stunned that a prosecutor would start that. But I understand that it's a health issue. It's not a criminal justice issue. And besides the drug court, I started alternative to prosecution. I took my drug forfeiture money and put it into education so that young people would be informed of the dangers of these drugs. And I'm continuing in Congress with the STOP Act, and will continue if given the opportunity.
Catherine is giving us a call from Middleborough. Good morning, Catherine. What is your question for the candidates, please?
Yes, hi, thank you. My question for both the candidates is, how do you feel about tax loopholes that only millionaires in the 1% can take advantage of? And if you're against it, what can we do to stop it?
All right, John Chapman, we start with you.
Well, I think we absolutely do need tax reform, and we need to make sure that Congress addresses these issues. What we need in Washington is leaders who have the courage to stand up and take these issues on. Since down in Washington, people, I don't feel like Congress is listening. I also don't feel that, you know, it's become too polarized and arrogant. We need to have the courage to face these issues and take them on, and we do need tax reform.
Thank you. Bill Keating.
Well, you know, we've had some instances of talking about this, and I still don't know my opponent's position, but I know mine. I want to reduce the loophole that gives tax breaks to the wealthiest corporations, the oil companies, $4.3 billion a year in tax breaks. I want to make sure that we close the loophole so that when businesses try and just in paper moves their companies overseas, all of a sudden they're not paying taxes like the rest of us. You know, if we close these loopholes. We could even lower the corporate tax rate overall. But we have to move forward with the special interest, that are being blocked by people like the Koch brothers and by Karl Rove, the very people that are funding that study, that Tennessee-based company that you keep talking about that I have a zero rating in. If Karl Rove is doing that and the Koch brothers, boy, I'm proud of that rating.
All right. Thank you. This is a question, and we'll try to make a little less than 2 minutes so we can get to closing comments. And Bill Keating, this is from Amy. She says, both candidates have talked about environmental issues and the importance of making sure that the science revolving around the marine economy is correct. How well do the candidates feel that they understand the science of the natural world or have a basis of knowledge for synthesizing, evaluating, and prioritizing the information they get from scientists? And if they don't understand it, how would they identify that and get up to speed? Bill Keating.
Well, that really comes home on Cape Cod and the South Coast because we're the most affected, I think, in the country on these issues. The sea level rises, the effect of erosion. But also in the Cape Cod, I think you've got the largest sole source aquifer in the entire country. And we can't be supporting things that I'm being criticized for by my opponent to make sure we're monitoring groundwater. If that aquifer isn't contaminated, life as we know it in the Cape will change, and it has an enormous effect on, obviously, on tourism and our economy down here. We're blessed to have research institutes like Woods Hole, like UMass Dartmouth, right here on Cape Cod and South Coast. And one of the things that I think differentiates the two of us is we have to put more money into that research, because not only is it so important and cost-effective, but it's also going to be an economic engine for our area. Some of the grants that I just was able to get for Cape Cod and Wareham were grants for innovation. And we should be so proud in our area that we are the centers for the innovation in terms of using estuary, a natural cleanser for nitrogens, making sure we have the technology. That's what the Falmouth grant is going to do to try and stop the introduction coming in. And then also the innovation that will occur in Barnstable and Chatham as well under that grant. So we are the center most affected, but the good news is we're leading the way in our region to deal with these issues. And I feel I'm a large part of it because they need help from the federal government in doing that.
Thank you. John Chapman.
Before I answer that question, I'm not sure, Congressman, what specific criticisms you think I'm criticizing you on with regard to this specific issue. What I seem to hear when you say that is it's more Washington speak, and that's not what the district needs. They don't need more Washington speak. They don't need more people telling them from Washington what their needs are in this area. It's not about representing Washington to the district. It's about representing the district to Washington, and that's something would be a top priority for myself. Part of that is going out and listening, talking to folks. I held a town hall last week on immigration as well as one on the fishing industry, and I would do so in this area as well. As Congressman Keating did mention, we do have tremendous resources available to us right here in Woods Hole as well as UMass Dartmouth, and I'm no expert in this area, but I know we have right in the district experts that could tell me exactly what I need to know. And I would be that voice in Washington to help with that. So thank you.
All right. You want a rebuttal? Go ahead.
Just a clarification. The criticism comes from those 10 votes. I don't know if you know what those 10 votes that the NFIB rated me on are, but they include, among other things, allowing the drilling, opening up the drilling of offshore oil on Cape Cod. That's great for the environment, isn't it? As well as water quality monitoring. As well. So those are what I was referring to because those are the votes that you've been taking these radio ads attacking me on. They're not small business votes. They're votes sponsored by large corporate interests funded by Karl Rove and the Koch brothers.
Thank you.
I want to respond because I have never talked anything about offshore drilling from Cape Cod or those votes in particular. What I'm speaking about and what my criticism of you, Congressman, is that you have a 0% rating from the National Federation of Independent Businesses and a 14% rating from the National Association of Manufacturers. Those are failing grades. That's not what people from the 9th Congressional District want to see in Washington.
All right, we're going to get to closing statements. John Chapman, you're first.
Well, today you've heard some clear differences between Congressman Keating and myself, and I believe our country needs to head in a different direction. We need to focus on jobs and the economy. We need to make it easier for businesses to grow. And my opponent has a 0% rating from the National Federation of Independent Businesses, and what that tells me is he's failed there as well. Spending. We need to get spending under control, and we need to balance the budget. My opponent has voted on legislation in 4 short years that's increased our budget well over $2 trillion. And immigration. We need to have immigration reform. We need to secure our borders first and foremost before we can have meaningful immigration reform. It's time for a fresh perspective in Washington. Balance and another voice is needed in the delegation. We need a congressman that will put district needs first ahead of partisan interests, not a congressman who votes 93% of the time with the president and with Nancy Pelosi. I will listen to the people in the district. I will understand and learn the needs they have, and I will go to Washington to get the job done. I'm asking for your vote on November 4th, and I would be honored to have it. Thank you so much for having me here today, Mindy.
Thank you. Bill Keating.
Well, thank you, Mindy. I think we've learned a lot, and hopefully we've learned a lot about the 10 votes that Karl Rove and the Koch brothers want in terms of what they term the National Federation of Independent Businesses. But I'll tell you this. Listen to what the objective people are making in regards to this election. I've been endorsed by the Boston Globe, the Patriot Ledger, the Cape Cod Times, and the New Bedford Standard Times, among others. Three of those newspapers have chimed in on who to support for governor. Three of them are supporting and have endorsed Charlie Baker, but they've also endorsed me. I think it's because I send a bipartisan message of working together to get things done. And I know our region, and I know the South Coast. I know Cape Cod and the islands, and I know the South Shore. And that's why when the New Bedford Standard Times endorsed me, they said it's imperative for the region's economic future, the Democratic U.S. Rep. Bill Keating be elected. Of course, I agree with them, but I also think it's indicative of those that are watching this election, those that have watched my performance serving them, those that have an objective viewpoint that have endorsed both sides of the aisle have selected me as their endorsement. So I want to thank people. John, I want to thank you. It's no fun in terms of the strain on all of our families of a campaign. I want to thank your family for being a part of that as well. This is what democracy is about. Please take advantage of it. As I said in my opening statement, other people in other countries in the world risk their lives just for what we have at our disposal in terms of our political voice. Please vote next Tuesday in the election. And please, I ask you for my support so I can continue the progress we've made here.
I want to thank you both, John Chapman and Bill Keating, for coming in and sharing your views with us. All of our political debates and conversations are available on our website, capeandislands.org. I'm Mindy Todd. Thanks for listening.
The Point is produced by Amy Vince, with assistance from Jenny Junker. The executive producer is Mindy Todd. Theme music by Benjamin Verdery and William Coulter. The Point is a production of WCAI, the local NPR station for the Cape, the Coast, and the Islands.